The Queen of Sheba, Chapter 82. One day a great multitude of strangers passed through one of the many gates at Jerusalem. The Israelites stare in wonder at this procession. Heavily burdened camels, soldiers with glittering sharp spears and swords, and many magnificently dressed courtiers are in this train. Such splendor, such riches. The inhabitants of Jerusalem stand still, look, and wonder. Whom do they see? From where do they come? Why did they come to Jerusalem? And for what reason are they coming? It can be seen that these travelers have made a long, tiresome journey, for they look fatigued. Their clothing and baggage, which are upon the camels, are covered with dust and desert sand. Yes, it is true, these people have come from a far country. They are not ordinary travelers, because they are dressed too magnificently for that. It is a very distinguished company. In the center of this procession, most likely in a splendid chariot, rides a woman. No, not a poor woman, but a wealthy, very wealthy woman, a princess. She is the Queen of Sheba, a land that is situated to the south of Arabia. The richly clothed people are her servants, her courtiers. The soldiers had to protect and help her on the long and dangerous journey. Their journey was through the large desert, which is hot and dry, but now they have reached Jerusalem, the end of their journey. Why does the Queen of Sheba come to the capital of the people of Israel? Well, while in her own country she heard something not only once or twice, but maybe 10, yes, 100 times. Travelers and merchants told her things. At first she would not believe them. She drew up her shoulders and laughed unbelievingly. What did she hear? She heard that in the far north, a rich and wise king is supposed to live, a king so rich that there is not another one like him reigning upon the earth. He has so many treasures, a king so wise that no one is as wise as he. The Queen of Sheba thought that what she had heard was too wonderful to be true. That could not be. She herself was wealthy, very wealthy. She also lived in a beautiful palace. But if what these people told her were true, then her wealth is nothing in comparison to the wealth of the king who lives in the north. Continually, other travelers and merchants come to her. Everyone tells her the same story. She began to doubt and ask, could it be true? Could it be that she is deceived? Is it possible? She did not know what to think. Slowly a thought arose in her mind. What thought could this be? She wants to know whether or not she is being deceived, whether there isn't a great deal of exaggeration in those stories which are being told her. She will go north herself. Personally, she will investigate whether the wealth and wisdom of this king are as great as everyone has told her. Preparations are made for this great journey. To prove that she too is rich, she takes the best things of her land with her, such as the finest fruits, the most delicious spices, the nicest diamonds and pearls, and a large amount of gold. All this is a present for that great, rich, and wise king in the north. Didn't her heart throb of curiosity? No doubt the journey seemed too long. At last she is in Jerusalem, and shortly she will know the truth about this king. Her chariot stands before the royal palace of Solomon. This is not the cedar building of his father David, which Hiram built for him. Oh no, Solomon had built a new home for himself, a palace which is more beautiful and larger. It took 13 years to build this building. The queen walks into that brilliant palace. She sees the servants, the courtiers of Solomon. They are wearing such expensive clothing. She looks about in speechless astonishment. Such splendor, such riches. No, her palace is not as beautiful as this. Her courtiers do not have such expensive clothing. Solomon is friendly and polite to her. She is tired and thirsty because of her long journey. Her needs can be supplied, for there is plenty in the palace of Solomon. The most costly wine is given her to drink out of golden cups. She eats at the same table with Solomon. Everything is made of gold, the bowls, dishes, and cups. In the days that follow, Solomon shows her everything. She sees the beautiful temple. No, she is not allowed to come inside the temple, but she is allowed to see the outside. Solomon also made a beautiful passageway which extended from the palace of the king into the temple. He shows her the palace which he made for his wife, for he is married to the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Solomon also shows her his armory. In this place there are 300 shields of gold. He had these made so that his servants could carry them whenever any special occasion took place in the city. The Queen of Sheba also sees the other buildings which Solomon built. She sees the stables for the horses. Solomon has many horses, for he has 12,000 horsemen. She sees the barns where the chariots of Solomon are housed. They are very large, for he has 1,400 chariots. The king lets her see all his gold and silver, all his pearls and diamonds. Yes, he shows her all his treasures. In astonishment, she claps her hands together and cries out, "Oh, the half was not told me. You are much richer than I was told." Solomon has hundreds of servants in his service. In one day, 30 oxen and 100 sheep, beside much wild game, was killed, and all this was used for food for Solomon, his wives, and servants. Every day, for bread only, they used 30 measures of fine flour, or approximately 350 bushels, and 60 measures of meal, or approximately 700 bushels. This is unbelievable. Still, it is true, for we read this in God's word, which does not lie. Didn't this food cost much money? Yes, it did cost much, but each year Solomon received 666 talents of gold. Do you know how much that is? No, do you? Each year Solomon received more than $20 million in gold alone. Oh, it is not possible to write the magnificence and riches of Solomon. It is no wonder that the Queen of Sheba is speechless and amazed. Concerning the wisdom of Solomon, never did she hear anything compared to this wisdom. She asked Solomon the most difficult questions. To every question he gave a correct answer. It seems as though Solomon knows everything. There is not one question which the Queen of Sheba asks Solomon to which he answers, "I do not know." He readily answers the most complicated questions. Finally, the Queen of Sheba is ready to return to her own land. She takes with her magnificent gifts. Solomon gives her whatever she asked for. She leaves Jerusalem and returns to her own land and to her own people. In her heart, there is respect and esteem for Solomon, the wise king. Did reverence also come into her heart for the God of Solomon? For many years Solomon lived in peace and prosperity. No enemies oppressed the people of Israel. Solomon never had to fight one battle. For that reason, he is a prince of peace. We already told you of all the many beautiful buildings he built. He richly ornamented Jerusalem, the capital. Whatever he had in his mind to build, he had it made. He also had a beautiful throne constructed. It was made of ivory. I believe the older children will know what ivory is. The large tusks of an elephant are ivory. This throne was so high that 6 steps were necessary to reach the top. On both ends of each step, he made the likeness of a lion, 2 on each step. 6 lions stood on the left side, and 6 lions stood on the right side, making a total of 12. These lions were made of gold. Solomon also built ships. However, the Israelites were not good seamen. For that reason, the servants of Hiram manned these ships. They were excellent seamen, for they knew the sea very well. These ships fetched gold and diamonds, precious stones and wood from other lands, and brought these to Solomon the king. Silver? No, Solomon did not want silver. Everything he made must be of gold. Silver was not nice enough nor expensive enough to his liking. There are 3 books in the Bible written by this wise Solomon. You must look them up. These biblical books are the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Try to remember these books. However, many years later, another king was born from the people of Israel, from the descendants of David and Solomon, a king who is much wiser and much more glorious than Solomon. He is the Lord Jesus. He is the greater Solomon. He also is the Prince of Peace. Solomon was a type of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the heavenly Solomon. He is the heavenly Prince of Peace. Jerusalem, the city of the earthly Solomon, was beautiful, but the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the heavenly Prince of Peace, is still more beautiful. By this heavenly Jerusalem is meant heaven itself. Oh, boys and girls, in the book of Revelations, the Lord tells us about this heavenly Jerusalem through the instrumentality of John. In this heavenly city, the streets are of gold. There are 12 gates, and each gate is a pearl. There will be no need for the sun or moon. The gates of the earthly Jerusalem were shut every night, but the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem are never shut. There will never be night there. God himself shall be the sun. God himself shall be the light. Every day people died in the earthly Jerusalem, and mourning and sorrow prevailed. But in heaven, in the new Jerusalem, there will be no mourning nor sorrow. Eternal joy and gladness will prevail there. That people shall be a blessed people, who may live in that new Jerusalem forever and ever. You also would like to go there, wouldn't you? But do you know who will not go there? No unregenerated person will go there. That heavenly Jerusalem is for God's people only, for God's elect. They will rejoice there eternally. There they will sing eternally. There they eternally will honor the Lord. Aren't the people of God a blessed people? Are you ever jealous of them? Boys and girls, the devil deceives us. He promises us so much, but he gives us nothing. The Lord never deceives us. No, never. The Lord is faithful.